Bibles, let's jump into this here. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, if you will, please. We're going to go all the way back into the book of Genesis. Last week we started a series entitled Intentional Legacy. Intentional Legacy. We all have a legacy that we're going to leave to those behind us, and I want to encourage you to be intentional about that. Be intentional about it. Our legacy is very important. We saw that. Our legacy is very vital to those behind us. Now, we talked about educating them and equipping them and exemplifying all of those things that we need in order to really affect the last or next generation behind us. By the way, pray for our young people. Really do. Especially our younger people in high school and middle school. Pray for them. They need prayer because of this world. Boy, I can't imagine. Now, we're going to think about this a little bit more and study as we go through. And this week studying, a lot of stuff jumped out to me. But Genesis 18, okay. Now, let's go down verse 16. Let's pick up there. Verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now remember, the Lord has just appeared to Abraham. Now in the Old Testament, we call that a theophany, a pre-incarnate Christ. He appears to him, you remember the story, with two angels, and he reveals to Abraham and reiterates, basically, what he's going to do with Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. He's going to, through a man who is 99 years old, a woman who's 99, they're going to have a child. Now, at this point, they have no child. Abraham has had Ishmael, but they have no child. And he says, I'm going to create in you a great nation. So many that more than the sand of the sea. Now, how'd you like to believe that? And that's what he says. Now, notice what he says in verse 19. This is what I want you to see with me this morning. For I know him. Underline that. For I know him. This is the Lord speaking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Did you catch that? He says, I know Abraham. He is so consistent in his faith and in his obedience that I trust him, and I will give him this great promise, that through his line would come the Messiah that would be the Savior of the world. One man. I know him. Does the Lord know you today? The Lord knew Abraham's consistency so well that he knew he would be consistent in reaching the generations after him. Does that make sense? The point one today I have, number one, is consistency. We develop this in the lives of those behind us. Now, a legacy will develop several things in the people behind us. One of those being consistency. Because of your consistency in the things of God, it will affect the consistency of the people behind you, won't it? You're faithful. Sometimes, if you're not careful, they emulate the things you don't want them to emulate. They follow, right? Isn't that true? Our kids often do that. The other day, I kid you not, I was in the living room and I heard the girls in the room, and as usual, there's drama. And one of the little five-year-olds said to our three-year-old, oh, come on, what's your problem? Real loud. I thought, what in the world? So I went in there, I said, well, what's going on now? And she had a big grin on her face, you know. And I said, now don't say that. That's not nice to say. She had a big smile. She said, Daddy, that's what you say. And I said, well, no, what do you say in that moment, right? And so, you know, you're like, just don't say that. Okay, yeah. Do as I say, not as I, or do as I say, not as I do, yeah. Isn't that true? They often follow your bad habits or the things you don't want them to. But the good qualities, you know, they scoff at that. They don't follow that. You know, Abraham was one of those men that God could trust. And he says now, the consistency in your life. Now, I don't know where you are in your life. Some of you don't have kids yet. Some of you don't have children. Some of you do have children. Some of you have grandchildren and so on and so forth. Whatever the case is for you, there are people, there are little ones, not so much little ones, but people beside you and behind you that are watching. I heard one fella say this. He said he was having trouble and he was going through a difficult season. He said, Brother Tim, just nobody cares about me. Nobody's even knowledgeable of me. They don't even recognize me. Nobody even cares. I said, that's not true. I said, you're always being watched by somebody. Someone is always watching you. Somebody that you're not even thinking about right now is looking up to you. And by the way, it's the most random person you'll ever think. They're watching you to see if you'll be faithful. They're watching you to see if you'll keep on going and not quit. We as believers must understand this. Paul makes it very clear in the New Testament that we ought to be on guard against, and he says this to the church at Ephesus. He says what? Walk circumspectly. That word carries with it a 360-degree view of your life. You're on guard all the time. Why? Because people are watching. And we must be aware of that. And we must be aware that God wants to use us and direct us, and He could possibly want to do something and be a blessing and use us as a blessing through that. Now remember this. Notice a couple things with me on this point. First point of consistency. The Lord comes and tells Abraham, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Abraham, in his response a little bit earlier, you remember, he laughs. He bows down and he chuckles. Now, you remember here, the Lord comes and they're sitting in the tent door, or in the front, they don't have doors, but in the front there on the porch, they're sitting there just talking. And God or the Lord reveals again what He's going to do. And Sarah's in the back. And what does she do? She laughs. You would laugh too, right? She's a very elderly woman, no kids. The Lord says, I'm going to do something in your life. Now notice this. Even though he didn't have children, he knew Abraham that if he were to give him children, he would be faithful in raising them. Does that make sense? God's not going to give you more if you can't handle what you have right now. Oh, I've learned that principle so many times. He's not going to bless you with more if you're not faithful to what you have now. He's not going to give us more in this church if we're not faithful with what we have right now, right? We started out, as most of you know, in a small church. They booted us out of that building, and we had to go, and we found a couple places to meet in, and we finally settled in a little office space over here in Edgewood, and we were there for about a year. And the one thing that kept bothering me was, well, Lord, we want to grow, we want to grow, we want to grow. And it kept reminding me, if you're not faithful right here, I'm not going to give you more. If you're not faithful right now with your kids, how do you expect to be faithful with the grandkids? If you're not faithful with what you have now, that's what he says. Now notice that. And when God reveals something to Abraham, Abraham always says, yes, sir, Lord, I'll follow through. But it's consistency. Do you have that in your life? A consistency in your life will inevitably pour out upon those behind you in faithfulness. Hardworking, good thing. You're a good person, good. You're moral, good. You pay your taxes, good. You follow our governor, bad. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. Those of you watching us live, thank you. God bless you. Can you believe that? Can you believe that lady? Okay. They say don't talk about politics behind the pulpit, right? Nah, I'm going to do it. Okay. That lady, oh my goodness. We're to pray for those in authority. Lord, please be with her and help her. Okay, where was I? You follow through the consistent. Well, she is consistent. I'll tell you that. Okay. Consistently bad. Okay, enough of that. Stop. Okay, let's get back to this. We follow this now. He followed through. Consistency and faithfulness. All right. I'll tell you, there's little eyes watching us, aren't there? Always somebody watching. Always somebody. There's somebody looking. There's somebody listening. There's somebody watching. Oh, my friends, I must keep going here before I get too bogged down in this. Okay. He says, I can trust. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? Can God trust you to give? Can God trust you with His word? Can God trust you? I wonder why sometimes God gives certain things to other people and not me. I wonder if it's I'm not faithful in what He's given me now. Be faithful in that. Follow through with it. Can I say another thing that we need to have is confidence? Not only the consistency that's there, but the confidence. The Lord says, I have confidence in Abraham. You trust Him so much to give Him that great responsibility? Yes. Remember this. It's not you, it's the Lord. If the Lord gives you something to do, if the Lord lays on your heart to do something for Him, don't ever stop short because of who you are. Stop short. Never stop short. Follow through because of who He is. It's not you. Well, Lord, if you want me to do that, I'll do it. I just want to be the vessel. Timothy was a great man that used that. And Paul says, I want you to be a vessel unto honor, someone that God can use. Follow through. The confidence with which He could work. Now, let's see here. He keeps going. The very next thing is that he talks about this great cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness and vileness of the world. And I want to point this out before I move on to the next point. The darker the night, the brighter the light. when the world is sick and wicked and dark and we throw our hands up in disgust. No. What do? We stay faithful because God's at work, and God has always been at work, and God will always be at work in this world until He returns. We follow through with this. I can because of who He is. Remember that. I can because of who He is, not who I am. If it was up to me, we'd fall short every single time. If it was up to my consistency, I'd fail every time. We follow through. You know, one thing about the Lord you can trust is He's consistent and faithful. The Bible repeatedly talks about God being faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. We went through in the book of 1 John, but He says we to confess our sins. Why? Because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful. It's not like trying to get a hold of the Lord. Lord, you there? Oh, He's busy today. No, He's faithful. He's always available to you and to me. He's faithful in what He does. He's faithful in who He is. Okay, He's also confident. We and our confidence in God, it spills over into the people behind us and beside us, the confidence that they need. Again, I said last week, we're commanded as fathers in the book of Colossians not to provoke our children to anger lest they be discouraged, the Bible says. That word discouraged is exactly what it means. It means without courage. And a lot of our young people today and a lot of our society today and the next generation are without courage. Low self-esteem, depression, anxiety, all of that. That comes back to the home. And we got to encourage our children, lift them up. It says of David that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Remember that? You think about the context of that, if you remember. David and his men had went out to battle, doing the Lord's work. They came back and their campsite had been ransacked. All of their wives and all of their children were kidnapped. Now, in those days, when someone was kidnapped, you pretty much knew that they had already been probably raped and killed. So that's what they assumed. And they got back, and know what they did? All of David's friends, so-called friends, they turned on him, didn't they? They said, it's your fault. It's your fault. We shouldn't have listened to you. So much so that it says that they came at David and said, we're going to go ahead and kill you, David. They started to make a plan to kill David. Some good friends, eh? And it says David got alone, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. That's easy to say, hard to do. Now think about that. Whatever you're going through, you encourage yourself in the Lord. You go and say, I'm going to do that. If we have courage, we can encourage those behind us. The confidence instilled in us. If you have your Bibles open again, go to Philippians chapter 2 with me. Go all the way to the New Testament. I want you to see this with me. Very interesting. Talking about our legacy today and being intentional about that legacy. Philippians 2, I talked a little bit about this last week, but 2 verse 20. Notice what it says. I have no man, this is Paul talking. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What's the next verse? For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now, in this text, if you look at it, he's talking about Timothy. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You know what he's doing? He's instilling confidence in Timothy. Now, he didn't say that in front of him. Very fascinating. The confidence. Out of all the people that Paul led to Christ and all the men that followed him, he had a lot of men following him, and he was a tremendous encourager, but he developed this in a lot of the young men around him. Of all of them, Timothy was the one that he said, I have no man like-minded. If you recall where Timothy came from, Paul picked Timothy up on one of his missionary journeys in the region there of Lystra and Derbe. He was a young boy who had no father. His father was a Greek, and his father left him at an early age as a very young boy. His father just abandoned the family like a coward. We got a lot of cowards today that just walk away from their families. And he walked away. And he came through, and his grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice, were there raising Timothy. But they were raising him right. Praise God for some of you single mothers. Thank you. You're doing a tremendous job being right here in church. And they raised him. And they said, hey, could you help our son? He needs some guidance, needs some help. And sure enough, he did. And he took him, and he was so impressed with Timothy's faith and all of that, he raised him, literally took him under his wings and encouraged him, and he eventually became a pastor there at Ephesus and all of that. But he says, I have no man like-minded. You know, Jesus came, and he was talking, and they said, are you John the Baptist? Or they came to John the Baptist and said, are you the Christ? And they both said, no, no, no. And when John the Baptist wasn't present, you remember, John, as he was in prison, sent a couple of his disciples to Jesus. And John, in his great distress in prison, he'd gotten really distressed and a little bit depressed. He said, go ask if he's the Christ. And they went to Jesus and they said, are you who you said you are? And he says, well, look what I do. And he said, follow me for a little while. And he healed people. Blind received their sight. lame walked, he fed the people. And they went back to John and they looked through those bars in prison and they said, hey, John, he's the guy. He's the Messiah. And they told him what he did. Well, when John was languishing in the prison, you know what Jesus was saying about John? He said, there's no man like him. Did you come out in the wilderness to see a reed shaken in the wind? A little weak, effeminate thing? No. He's a manly man, preaching repentance. He spoke and boasted of John, but not in front of John. That confidence. We don't flatter people, right? We don't flatter them. Imitation's the greatest form of flattery. We like that. That's not what I'm saying. We're instilling confidence. And Paul says of Timothy, I have no man like-minded. He later will say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says this, I'm mindful of thy tears, Timothy. Timothy was going through a tremendous battle in his early ministry. It was difficult. He went to a city called Ephesus where they worshiped the goddess Diana, who was a fertility god. And with fertility gods, you know what they did. They had to, it was their legal duty, it was their social duty to go into the temple to the temple prostitutes. It wasn't for fun, it was their duty to do that. That's the kind of sick mind they have. That's a sick society. We're rapidly approaching that in our society. You think about that. And Timothy went to that little sick place and preached the gospel. And for doing so, he endured a lot of challenges. And Paul says, Timothy, I know what you're going through. I'm mindful of thy tears, son. I'm praying for you. The people behind us that we're leaving a legacy to, they need to know that. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I want you to know that I prayed for you this morning. I want you to know that I'm faithful in my Bible. I'm studying the scriptures. I want to encourage you to do the same. Confidence. Confidence. Philemon, there's a little book called Philemon. Philemon. Verse 21 of that. Very interesting book. He's writing to an individual, Philemon, who he had known. He was a friend of his. But while he was in prison, it's funny who you meet in prison, eh? But in prison, he met this young man. And he was basically a runaway slave, and he had, you know, stolen from Philemon. And he told the story to Paul, and Paul led him to the Lord, and he got saved and got right with the Lord. And he wrote this letter back to Philemon to say, hey, welcome this young man back when he gets out of prison. He's a changed man. He's saved now. And he says to Philemon, he says, I have confidence in you, verse 21, thank you, having confidence in thy, notice, obedience. Notice what he says. I wrote unto thee knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. I have confidence in your obedience that you're going to do not only what I ask you, but more than that. Now, again, he was kind of buttering up Philemon too, like, I'm expecting you to do more. I'm expecting you to accept this young man back. I have confidence in that. And it's a great day when you can say that about one of the people behind you, like your kids or grandkids. I have confidence in that. It's sad to say that most people get all the attention and get all the things. Maybe some of your siblings that are not saved, that live in the world, but they make a lot of money, they get all the attention. Maybe they're the ones that mom and dad talk about at the family reunion, you know. But you're faithful. And again, I say this. Your validation doesn't come from people. It comes from the Lord. And that's where we need to get our eyes back to. You get your validation, or you hope to get validation, from the people that devalue who you are. Isn't that true? We look for validation in people that don't give a hoot, that always put us down, never talk good, never pat us on the back. You're not going to get a pat on the back for serving God and not running around on your wife. They don't care. But you make a lot of money. Oh. You don't need validation from that anymore. And I said it before, I'll say it again. When we please Him, you'll please everyone you're supposed to please. You don't please everyone. We try to please certain people, and it ends up biting us in the backside, doesn't it? No. You look for a pat on the back, you get a punch in the gut, usually. We get our validation from Him. I have no man like-minded. Well, how was Paul? What was his mind like? Paul was steadfast, wasn't he? Unmovable. He says to the church at Corinth, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't quit. So much so, don't quit. He goes even further and even deeper. He says, don't even lull behind. You can keep going, but be very apathetic towards things. You can keep going, but be rather sluggish about it. Paul says, no, not only don't keep going, but he says what? Always abound. Always moving forward. Always operating in what we call the optimum level or optimum potential where God wants us to be. We don't look for validation, and we don't try to please the people that could care less about our Savior and our God. We're saying today, the world's God is bigger than our God. The liberal side of it, their God, they're so passionate. Have you heard these people? I mean, they are so passionate about what they believe, and here's us Christians on the side real quiet. I don't want to stir up any trouble. That's true. I'm talking about myself. Their God is bigger than our God in their eyes. Now, we serve Almighty God. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by the way, he's coming back soon and he's going to handle business. And I hope you're on his side. But as we live here, we must understand something. This world is not our home. And because of that, the world hates us, as Jesus said. And we must not get intimidated by that. We must not be shocked at that. And I sure hope you're not identifying with this world. You stick out. There's that consistency. There's that confidence that we're instilling in the people behind us. And I said it last week, I'll say it again. Your kids and grandkids, your nieces and nephews, whoever it is that looks up to you, they'll come to a point, like all of us have, where you get up to adulthood and your marriage ain't doing so well and the finances stink and everything's falling apart, right? And life and reality actually hit you in the face. And they don't sit on the edge of their bed contemplating what to do next and think about the fun times and think about all the stuff you gave them. They're going to think about, what do I do now? My default should be back to the convictions that mom and dad or grandma, grandpa, aunt and uncle instilled in me, right? Because it doesn't matter how much money you make, you still contemplate suicide. We just heard again, a fella, very wealthy man, a celebrity, had 4 houses, 56 cars, any woman he could have, killed himself. Proves the point. I guess money ain't everything, O.J. Simpson said. It's true. You think about, what are we instilling in these kids and these grandkids and these people behind us? We're saying, I want you to know something, honey. It's not all about money. It's not all about materialism. It's about the Word of God. And I want you to see it in my life with the consistency and then the confidence with which I operate, that I'm not ashamed at work to stand for Christ. I'm not ashamed at the family reunion to stand for the things of God. I'm not ashamed to stand for Him. Why? That's instilling a confidence in these people. That one day they say, well, Daddy stood, Mama stood, Grandma stood. I can stand. I can stand. Yes, we know. I have no man like-minded. I know you'll do more, Philemon, than what I've asked you to do. I understand. I believe in the consistency of your character. You'll follow through. And oh, the friend of God, Abraham, stood there and he looked out of his tent towards Sodom and he saw the wickedness of it all. And here comes the Lord with 2 angels and said, I've got a plan for you. God, what are we going to do? This world's so wicked. And here comes Jesus. Praise God. Oh, my friends, you got to read into this stuff. When it looks like it's the worst time in world history, as it did back then with Sodom and Gomorrah, here comes Jesus with his angels marching through. Abraham says, Lord, you're going to destroy the whole city? He said, pretty much. What if you find 50 righteous in there? Would you still do it? No. He thought for a minute, stink. What about 40? All right. What about 5 less than that? And he goes through the whole thing, right? Okay, finally Abraham just stood to the side and said, here comes Jesus. He creates in him, does a mighty work. We know the eventual seed comes through Isaac and down through the centuries. Here we are today in 2023, sitting in an air-conditioned building, our freedom and liberty to worship Christ on a Sunday morning, which may come to a halt here real soon. And that's where we are. Because of one man's faith, because of one man that stood up like Joshua we studied last week, and he said, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to go ahead and serve the Lord. He didn't consult with wife and kids. Kids, what do you think? Should we go to church today? No. Lead the way. And some of you mamas here leading the way spiritually. Praise God for you. Keep doing it. Lead the way. And we saw, I said last week, you read what the Bible says, but also don't forget to read what the Bible doesn't say. And the Bible didn't say that the wife and kids threw a fit over it. No, it says, doesn't say anything. Meaning, they followed him. Joshua's character was so consistent. Joshua's convictions were so consistent. They followed that. They respected that. The rapport he had with his family was so good. They respected that rapport. They followed it. And they're not going to listen and follow you if you're inconsistent throughout the week. If you're inconsistent and a hypocrisy that comes turns more people away because of that. I have confidence you'll do more than I say. Can I say thirdly then? And then we'll bring her home here. We'd only not only develop the consistency and confidence, we do then develop conviction. Conviction. Go back to Philippians 4. I should have kept you there, but we'll go to Philippians 4 again. I want you to see this. In Philippians 4, again, Paul is speaking to this church and he's encouraging them to grow in the Lord, but he's also encouraging them to follow through in what they had said and what they had promised. Verse 8, Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things, what's he saying? The things I just talked about, which ye have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. Again, underline that in your Bible, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Do it. The things you've seen, the things that you've watched, the things you've observed, do those things. What's he saying? I've instilled in you, at least I've taught you and tried to instill in you, the convictions that you ought to have. See, Paul never preached anything that he didn't do himself. Jesus never preached anything that he didn't do himself, and you know that. The sad part is that most pastors, like this one right here, preaches and teaches things that I often don't do myself. Nobody will follow that. Paul goes so far to say that what? I don't want to preach things that I don't do, lest I be a castaway, disqualified for service. I'm a nobody, thrown off on an island somewhere. Ain't nobody going to listen to that. Nobody's going to follow that. No kids are going to follow you if you're inconsistent, if you're a hypocrite in that. We develop in them a conviction. He goes on to say in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now remember, he says, I can do all things through Christ. He doesn't say what I want to do. I can do all the things I want to do. We often misread that, as I said. He says, I can do all the things I'm supposed to do. Do you find it hard to do the things you're supposed to do biblically? Yes. Do you find it hard to follow through with what the Bible says? To respect your husband? To love your wife? To lead your family? Yes, yes, and yes. I do. I can do all things through Christ I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do it. God will empower me to do it. And how do I do it? Take a step of faith forward. I don't want to. It's uncomfortable, but I'll do it. Christ will empower me. Follow through with that. More Christians today don't follow through with that. Don't go forward and do what they're supposed to do. You know the reason? I can't do it. Wrong. The Bible speaks against that. You can do it. The problem is you won't do it if you're like me. Excuse after excuse. And now we see this. Now the conviction is developed in those behind us. How did she do it? How did he do it? Because he understood this principle. I want you to do this. I want you to follow me, Paul says, because you've observed me. You followed me. You listened to me. You watched me. You watched me. And the God of peace shall be with you. Peace that comes. You know how to obtain peace? That's what the world's looking for today. Peace. They drink it. They smoke it. They pop the pills. They do all those, right? Don't work. Because it's temporary. And give it about 2 hours and then your character changes real quick. It feels real good up front. Woo, I'm feeling good. Well, give it about 2 hours. Things change. It's temporal. The peace that Christ offers, as you know this, is eternal. And Paul says to the church, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That means have rule. Consistent. It's not this. It's consistent peace. Problems, storms, all the things come in life, it's consistent. That's the peace he offers. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, he says. It's my peace. It's different. And you can have peace with God, and you should. But do you have the peace of God in your heart? Most Christians have peace with God, meaning they're saved. There's no enmity between them and the Lord anymore. But they walk around with a pouched lip, depressed, angry, frustrated all the time. They don't have the peace of God. That's true. That's what the little ones see. That's what the ones behind us see it. Do you develop and have you the conviction that you have? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and then we'll wrap it up. I keep saying that, but I promise. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 13. I want you to see this with me. Something this week as I was studying this and preparing, man, it hit close to home for me. But evil men and seducers. This is what he just talked about. Now remember, he just gave a list of characteristics of the characters in the latter time, which we see today. This is what they will be. Evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's pretty depressing. That means everything's going to continue the way it's going. The world preaches that everything gets better. It's the opposite. It's called entropy. Everything gets worse. Everything dwindles down. Okay, now next one, brother. Sorry. But continue thou, underline that, in the things which thou hast learned, been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Did you catch that? Everything's getting bad, Brother Tim. Talked to someone recently. What do you think about what's going on right now? What's going to go? What are we going to do? I said, well, God's still in control. Did you realize, has it ever occurred to you, nothing's ever occurred to God? He's not caught off guard with anything. Okay, notice what he says. Everything's getting worse, and it will continue to get worse, but continue thou. You continue. Yeah, but what about that? You continue. Yeah, but you don't know what my school is like. No, you continue. Yeah, but look at their marriage. I mean, it's you, your responsibility. Did you see that? Continue thou in the things that thou know. You know, you've been taught, you've learned it, you've been assured of. That's experiential faith and knowledge. Paul will say In another book, he says, for I have learned, in the book of Philippians, Paul was always learning, but he didn't learn an educational learning. He didn't say, I learned this in the classroom. I learned this by reading the Bible. He said, I've learned whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. That's experiential learning. He'd gone through a lot of junk in his life. Prison, whip, beating. You can't imagine what he went through. I read one author, he said, when they would arrest these fellows like this, they'd tie their arms around a pole like this, wrap their arms around it, and then they'd take and just start lashing the back. While they were lashing it, the people would walk by with buckets of waste, human waste, and throw it on their back as those wounds are opened. I know it's nasty, sorry, to create disease and infection. But I won't go there. Okay, that's what he's talking about. What I've been through is experiential knowledge, learning, not in the classroom. A lot of people know this book from front to cover, front to back, but they don't go out and live this book. I said last week, a lady told me, you're real narrow-minded, aren't you? I said, I'm about as narrow as this book. Follow the book, I try to. Now, they say I'm stick in the mud and everything else, fuddy-duddy, too conservative. Do you think about now? So he says to Timothy here, what's he doing? Developing conviction in Timothy. He says, Timothy, you know what to do. I'm mindful of thy tears. I know what you've been doing. I know you've been weeping and crying. I know, son, I don't want you to think that I'm not there for you. Son, I'm over here preaching. Son, I'm over here sitting in a prison. I'm not sitting at home with my feet up on the recliner. I'm not taking it easy while you're suffering. I'm in it too, Timothy. And I want you to know something, that the tears you shed, I shed too, right? When your kids cry, you cry. When your grandkids are hurt, you're hurt. That's what he's saying. And I want you to understand, he developed in him a conviction. And he said, Timothy, you keep going. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Well, easy for you to say, Paul. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, whoa, if I could attain to what Paul, if I could follow what Daddy, what Mama, she was so faithful. She had cancer, but she was so faithful. Going through so much and they were still faithful. Thinking about that today. Have you developed a consistency, a confidence, and a conviction? And those you're seeking to leave a legacy to, continue thou, continue thou. Too many people pleasers today. You keep going. Why? Because I know, Paul says, in whom I have believed and am persuaded. Being confident of this very thing, he says to the church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. I have confidence. See, God is never behind. God never drops the ball with anything. He's never behind the eight ball either. I mean, he's always on it. And you say, God, I trust you. I'm going to give you my life to you to use it. But are you sure you'll finish it? You won't leave me hanging? No. Untold of what God will do in your life. Untold of what he can do and what's waiting for you. He says to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. He says to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. Isn't that true? My thoughts and prayers are way down here. He says, I want to do so much more. Well, Lord, I don't know if you want to do this with our church, but Lord, we like to grow. God says, yes, that's what I've been trying to get you to see. Lord, I don't know what you want to do with our family, but Lord, we'd like to get it together and yes, that's what I want for you too. And we must understand that God is always for us. He's never against us. He who spared not his own son, how shall he withhold things from us? He sent his son, we're getting a new cross up here, but he sent his son to the cross, didn't he? And you think he won't give you that what you're asking for? You submit your will to his and seek his will? I must conclude here. And I thank you for listening. The legacy. I want you to, this week, again, if I can encourage you, go after that legacy. Friends, we don't have much time left. You know that. We're not sure of and certain of tomorrow. We're not. The legacy. Develop it. If your kids today were to find your Bible and they opened it up, what would they find? Right? If your grandkids tomorrow had to clean out your house, they found your Bible, they found your notes, your little journal pad, what would they find? What would they find? We're creating in them a legacy. I want to encourage you to keep going. I'm preaching to people this morning that I'm so grateful for, every one of you in this room. I'm so thankful for all of you. You're faithful. You love the Lord. You serve Him. You reach others for Christ. You try your best to be in the Word every day. You've tried, and some of you have gone through some very, very difficult seasons of late. And I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. I'm praying for you, and I'd encourage you, if you would, please pray for me. I need it. But we can keep going. Getting worse and worse, but continue thou. I can continue? Yeah. Why? I'm on the winning side. Don't forget that. My King is the King of Kings. My Lord is the Lord of Lords. He's all powerful. He's all powerful. And some of you in here, I want to encourage you, it's time to get saved. It's time to get saved. Stop messing around. It's been too long. Quit trying to figure things out in that regard. Get saved. You've got to get saved. I want to encourage you. Meet me right here after I'm done. Please. I won't embarrass you. The church doesn't embarrass you. We love it. We rejoice. Come get saved. Let me lead you. It's time. It's time. Lord, thank you for this morning. I praise you. I must stop there. I thank you for your grace. I praise you for these dear people. They are so faithful. I am so privileged to stand before them, preach the word. And Father, I pray for your help. I pray for your guidance. These dear people go out today as soldiers, as you've called us to be. And we march forward in a wicked world. It's amazing that Christians have this incredible ability to walk through the dark with precision, accuracy, because we're not led of our own feelings, we're led of the Holy Spirit. We know that. We ask that you'd help us to submit our wills to you. Father, strengthen us in these times. We see what's happening right now in our own state, the agenda that's being pushed, Father. The complete eradication of anything holy, anything that has to do with Christ. We ask that you'd strengthen us in these latter days that are very dark. But continue thou. We know we can. We thank and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.